where caring teachers, strong schools, and a supportive community helped shape his life. And whereas, grateful for his opportunities to receive, Arthur chose to give back to our community that helped raise him so future generations can enjoy those same opportunities. Whereas Arthur and Sarah Ludwig generously donated the Paso Play on Wheels van and seed money to relaunch this mobile recreation program, bringing free recreation activities directly to neighborhoods, parks, community events, and gathering spaces throughout Paso Robles. And whereas Paso Play on Wheels reflects the city's commitment to bringing people together through play, strengthening community connections, and creating opportunities for residents of all ages to learn, laugh, and belong. Now, therefore, let it be resolved that I, John Hammond, by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor and speaking on behalf of the entire city council, do hereby proclaim July 21st, 2026 as Paso Play on Wheels celebration in the city of El Paso de Robles and encourage all residents to celebrate the relaunch of this program, the spirit of giving back, and the lasting impact of play in our community. Angelica, would you like to say something?
Thank you, Mayor Hammond. On behalf of Art and Sarah, I would like to thank City Council for their acknowledgement. I had the pleasure of meeting Art and Sarah, shaking their hand and thanking them directly for this donation. And I just wanted to also share that if you visit the library tomorrow, you will notice new shelving that arrived today. Serendipitously, this shelving happened to arrive today that was also donated by Arthur and Sarah Ludwig. So pretty cool. We do have a statement that Art provided that Heather's going to read.
Arthur and Sarah couldn't be here tonight, but they really wanted me to share a letter that Art provided, so I'll read that now. Mayor, members of City Council, and members of the Paso Robles community, thank you for this honor. Sarah and I are truly grateful, but we accept this recognition as a reflection of something much larger than ourselves, the importance of investing in the communities that help shape our lives. Paso Robles was the town of my youth. It was where I learned lessons that stayed with me long after I moved away. I was the kid who played youth baseball and earned a treasured baseball for being the slowest runner around the bases. I was the newspaper carrier pedaling down Riverside Street trying to deliver the Paso Robles Press while keeping an eye out for neighborhood dogs. I was the young boy proudly dressed in a blue and white band uniform for the Pioneer Day Parade, only to discover that a bird had other plans for my hat that morning. Like many of us, I didn't realize at the time that these small moments, along with the people who encouraged me, were helping shape the person I would become. That's why giving back matters. Communities do not thrive because of buildings, programs, or even individual acts of generosity alone. They thrive because people choose to invest in one another. They thrive when people create opportunities for others to connect, play, learn, and grow. Whether someone is a child discovering a new game, a teenager finding a place to belong, or a senior sharing stories with neighbors, those moments of connection help strengthen the fabric of our community. It's our hope that Paso Play on Wheels will help create those opportunities. Perhaps a child will discover a new passion, a teenager will make a new friend, or a senior will find a reason to gather and connect with others. We never know which moments will matter most, or how a simple act of play, kindness, and community can shape someone's story. Sarah and I are thankful that Bertha, AKA the Paso Play on Wheels van, will spend the rest of her days bringing joy to the community that helped to raise me. More importantly, we are thankful for the people who will continue the work of building connections, creating memories, and investing in future generations. Thank you again for this recognition, and thank you to the City of Paso Robles and the Recreation Services team for helping to make that possible. With gratitude, Arthur Ludwig.
Let's bring the rest of you guys on up. We have another proclamation. Again, thank you for Arthur and Sarah Ludwig for their generous donations for the city. I want to go over here. Oh, he did. Wow, you didn't get the memo. Yeah. That's all right. It sounds and looks good. This is a proclamation, Parks and Recreation Month, July 2026. Whereas, Parks and Recreation supports safe, vibrant, and active communities that make life better. And whereas, Parks and Recreation creates memorable experiences through free community events, after-school activities, mobile recreational programs that we now have a vehicle with, senior centers, adult fitness, and enrichment programs, and beyond. And whereas Park and Recreation supports the economic vitality of communities by partnering with local businesses and nonprofits and offering events for residents' engagement. And whereas Parks and Recreation encourages physical activities by providing space for popular sports, hiking trails, bike trails, swimming pools, and many other activities designed to promote active lifestyles. And whereas our parks and natural recreational areas ensure natural beauty of our community and provide a place for children and adults to connect with nature and create outdoors. And whereas the U.S. House of Representatives has designated July as Parks and Recreation Month. So therefore, let it be resolved that I, John Hammond, by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor and speaking on behalf of the entire City Council, do hereby proclaim month of July 2026 as Parks and Recreation Month. Congratulations.
Thank you. I am so proud of our team. Together, Recreation Services and Parks and Trails, we have done so much over the last few years together to make sure that our public spaces are accessible and activated. I actually have Linda Plesha today with me, our Recreation Manager, and James Taylor, our Parks and Trails Supervisor. Can I invite them to share a couple words?
Thank you, Angelica, and thank you, Council. On behalf of Recreation Services, I would like to thank the City Council for recognizing Parks and Recreation Month and the important role Parks, Programs, and Recreation Services play in our community. It is an honor and a privilege to create opportunities for people of all ages to gather, stay active, learn new skills, build connections, make lasting memories, and enjoy special events like the one we just had outside celebrating our new mobile recreation program together. We are grateful for the City Council's continued support and proud to serve the Paso Robles community. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Linda, for stealing my speech. Now, I can't come close to that one. I guess for me, I just want to say thank you to City Council and to the city staff that have all been a part of the changes that we've seen recently and the changes that we're going to see in the future in most of our parks, a lot of our parks. Your continued support and commitment to making Paso Robles a better place for youth and adults is absolutely amazing. So thank you.
Thank you all for your service for Robles and Paso Robles. Well done, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Great job.
Yay! Yeah, that was cool. All right.
Yeah.
Moving on, we have general public comments. This is the time that the public may address council on items within its purview, but not scheduled on tonight's agenda. Council or staff may briefly respond to these statements or direct them to staff for further comment. Please fill out a speaker information card and give it to our city clerk upon speaking. You'll have 3 minutes. Those people wishing to speak on any item scheduled on tonight's agenda will be given an opportunity to do so at the time the item is being considered. Welcome.
Good morning. Hello, Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. Every once in a while you just wake up and be grateful for everything that's around you. And that's today. So I'm going to tell you some negative stuff with a big smile. So I have a binder here of the Encampment Resolution Fund, and I've been studying it to death. And like I said in the email, that the Housing First Law stands over any program that wants to be implemented by the executive director of Haslow. So, as you know, I wrote an opposition to the grant, and it was converted into a complaint. That was HCD's decision, not mine. I just wanted to have my word. So, I also spoke with Mr. Becker, Gregory Becker, I think his name is, and his associate, and they want more information about that apartment complex before it happens. I've walked the neighborhood because I'm getting nominations, and as I mentioned in the email, people are concerned, very concerned about the seniors and the children. So I don't ever like to say anything negative without not having something to contribute. So I sent to Ashley and Angelica the Oakland encampment policy that I worked on with the city of Oakland. One of the problems with the grant request is that we don't have one. And that was one of the requirements. And in the request, the city is asking for 90 days, if granted, to make the policy. Well, the city of Oakland's is like 10 pages long. You gotta talk about, you know, how you're gonna manage the encampment. So I would just encourage you guys, the city, Ashley, I think it's a great idea. I'm not trying to squash the project. I think it's a great idea, it's just the wrong spot. I think Jeff Ryan and his apartment complex on 32nd and Park, if that's the correct street number, it was at the DRC or something the other day. He's had his complex is going to be stalled for 2 years because he can't afford. If you guys found an area back over 32nd Park, not on the main drag, I wouldn't have a problem. But the entire neighborhood is a dead no, including the parents of the school. So I sent him the encampment policy. I'm looking through the eligibility requirements to see where I can't figure out a way so that these things can be approved the next time. I don't think the state would approve the grant without that policy first, because the first question I would ask, when you say the state's coming in, that's me. I worked for the state for 30 years, an analyst. So I would say just to work on the policy first and ask again, and ask for something bigger and better. Thank you for getting the Fox Theater fixed, by the way. I saw that that's boarded up. And the last thing I have to say is that we're trying to decrease the public safety's resources. Kimberly Booth has started a hydration station right in front of the water treatment plant. I'm a part of that. We have other people that are gonna donate, the fire department agreed to donate water. Our goal there is to make sure that the fire department and the police department does not have to spend their time down there putting out fires. We'll figure out something for winter when the rain comes. But I just wanted to apologize to Ashley and Angelica because they did a lot of work on that grant, but it's very hard to decipher. And I would recommend looking over the ECHO program. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else? Do we have anyone online, Melissa?
No, sir.
Okay. We'll close then the public comment and move on to items to be deferred. Mr. Huat?
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, we do have one item for deferral tonight. Item 18 in your consent calendar, which is the acceptance of public improvements for the remaining portion of Airport Road, Venado Backbone 1, Phase 1 improvements. We're requesting that be deferred to a future meeting to be determined. We still need some work done out in that area, and we're working with the developer to complete those requirements. So 18, yes, 18. On your consent calendar.
Okay.
1-8. Thank you.
Very good. The consent calendar, then, we'll move on to that. Items considered routine and do not normally require separate discussion. However, if any member of the council or the public has any specific questions or wants clarification on an item, we can get those answered before the vote is taken. Now, secondly, any member of the council that wants to have a full discussion on this item, it will cause that item to be pulled from the calendar and then considered at the end of the discussion items, which tonight we have no discussion items, but then I will also allow then the public to, anyone has questions on that, please come forward or ask a question on any consent item, 1 through 17 and then 19 is what we're gonna be considering tonight. Seeing none, anyone online?
No, sir.
Okay, we'll bring it back to council. Chris, you have a question?
I do. I have questions on J5, 6, 11, and 19.
5, 6, 11, and 19.
Yes, sir.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and start on 5?
So on J5, the not that I have a question with the formation of the facilities district, I just have a question regarding the amount that's going to be collected in relation to the debt service for those bonds. If we, if both tranches of $15 million each are initiated, we have $30 million. From the lowest amount per dwelling unit, $3,699, to the highest, $5,985 per month assessment, or excuse me, a year assessment. That leaves a pretty large delta if I calculate the debt service of $30 million over 30 years. I just use a rate of 6%, which is probably low. But we have a delta from the lowest amount for the smallest property. We're going to be over-collecting $1,211. I'm sure I'm missing something. There's other fees or other payments that are going to come out of the special tax besides debt service.
Yes, Mr. Bausch, Ryan Cornell, Administrative Services Director. A couple of items. First, the indebted bond or in the debt. It is more than just that. The CFDs for insurances for the bondholders, we say that we're going to collect 110% of the debt service that we require. That 10% is kind of a little bit of a buffer just in case one of the property owners doesn't pay their property tax bills and we have to pay it with some reserves. And so those reserves happen for the first good 20 years of the bond life. And then after that, then we start slowing it down where we charge less than the maximum tax rate and start using those reserves to pay off the debt service.
So if I estimated the debt service at $2,158,000 annually on $30 million, I don't know how fast it'll take to get to the $30 million. They're going to pull all 30 at once or in tranches probably. And you're collecting somewhere in the neighborhood of between $3.4 and $5.4 million. That's still more than 10%. Is that ever looked at and adjusted down?
Yeah, what's kind of interesting is obviously when we actually go to bond market,
right,
that's when the interest rates will be set. That's when we'll know when the debt service payment is. So for all intents and purposes, this is it's supposed to be conservative, where we're conservatively estimating what the taxes are going to be, how these houses are going to come online too, because a
sure.
lot of the parcels aren't even developed yet, and then the tranches of the bond and indebtedness. So it is not set in stone.
Okay.
It does get looked at as we issue bonds, and we have to make sure that the debt service ratio and all those little parameters and the
completely
CFDs are met too, in order to make sure that we're staying within that $30 million.
I'm just looking at how this is going to impact absorption rate once those homes are finally built. That's just a lot of additional. This is on top of a pretty healthy property tax.
Yeah, it pretty much almost doubles the property tax rate for these units.
Okay.
Quick question.
Thank you very much.
Chris, a quick question on that, Ryan. What happens with the reserve at the end of the bond, the collection that you're putting in reserve all the time?
It stays with cash with fiscal. So U.S. Bank, we have a trust agreement with them. And so it stays on hand until we get towards the end of the debt service payment, and then we'll reduce what we ask from the homeowners and offset it.
So it daylights out at the end. Got
correct.
It.
It's very similar to the GO bond. We've been, over the last 5 years, charging less than the maximum rate that we're allowed to because we already have the money and we're pretty close to the end of the payment.
All right. So that's good on 5, Chris?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next 6.
J6, I think I want to pull just to have a discussion on it.
We can do that.
And then 11. The annual subscription amount that's noted in the staff report. And that is how long are we committing to on that?
I may ask Public Works Director Leslie Frazier to come up and walk you through that.
Good evening,
Aye.
Councilmember. Hi. I also have Melissa Green online if we have any more in-depth technical questions, but I believe that the term is for 3 years.
Can you repeat that?
I believe the term is for 3 years.
3 years. Okay. So that annual, obviously, is annual, so we pay that
yearly
every year.
For 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the benefits outweigh that significant cost?
Yeah, the benefits, first of all, there's a cost savings benefit. So okay. Compiling into our current primary platform, we will save annually $21,000. But there's additional benefit by just having decreased staff time. Currently, we have our primary workflow platform, but our resident input platform is different. And so there's an incredible amount of staff time used to talk between the two platforms. So with everything integrated into one platform, that will be a reduction of staff time.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Leslie.
You're welcome.
We're going to pull 18, right?
No, 18 is going to be deferred.
That's what I said.
Deferred.
And then 19, we're going to assume the maintenance cost for Sherwood Road, it looks like. That's the only assessment that I can see being addressed here. Do we have any idea what that annual is going to be?
Again, I'll probably ask either Leslie or Dante to supplement, but typically when a road becomes a public street, it's then assumed to be maintained by the city. And so our intent with our new updated street maintenance program is to get out there every few years and do that lower cost
right.
touch and treatment. I don't have off the top of my head a per unit cost for that, and I don't know if Leslie or Dante on the spot may have that. But our intent is to try to get out there more frequently to do lower cost treatment as opposed to waiting 10 or 15 or 20 years and then we're stuck with only one option, which is a major rehabilitation. So,
That goes to my point. Thank you. That's the answer I was looking for. This is going to be a newer street. The PCI will be good, and we know that we're going to maintain that every 2 years or attempt to maintain that every 2 years.
Yeah, it may not be precisely 2 years, but much more frequently than I think you would have seen maybe 10 or 15 years ago when we did not have Measure I-24 or Measure J-20 in place.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I missed the item for our city manager to go over the items on the consent calendar. So, Chris, do you want to go ahead and do that one through?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that, Mayor. So tonight we have 19 items on the consent calendar, 18 if you want to discount the one that we're asking to be deferred. And just a note, typically we do not just have a consent calendar only meeting. That happens maybe once every year and a half. And tonight just happens to be that one meeting. So with that, I'll try to go over these relatively quickly. Item one is the approval of your minutes from your June 16th City Council meeting. Item number two is the receipt of the warrant register. This is payments made by the city since the last time we met. So it has been a moment since we've met. The city has issued about $9.3 million in various payments. I'm going to cover several of those payments now that exceed $100,000. The first is a payment to United Field Services Corporation. This is related to the Golden Hill water tank recoding, comes out of the water fund in the amount of $114,000. Next is a payment to Granite Construction Company. This is related to road repairs in the Sierra Bonita neighborhood in the amount of $669,437.47. Next is a payment to Mott McDonald. This is related to work that's being done to advance grade separation out at 46, State Route 46 and Union Road, out of the Capital Improvement Fund in the amount of $176,101.26. Next is a payment to Best Best and Krieger for April 26 attorney's fees coming out of a variety of different funds in the amount of $135,000.98. Next is a payment to the California Department of Technology. This is related to licenses that we procure through a statewide buying program for various software in the amount of $185,403.90. Next is payment to Purolite. This is related to arsenic media treatment for specific water wells in the amount of $183,588.04. The next item is a payment to USA Bank, and this is related to tax allocation bonds associated with the old redevelopment agency from 2000 in the amount of $485,086.91. Next is also a payment to USA Bank for 2009 tax allocation bonds also associated with the former redevelopment agency in the amount of $590,277.92. Next is a pass-through payment made to Visit SloCal for the April 2026 Tourism Improvement District. Again, this is a pass-through amount that's collected on behalf of Visit SloCal in the amount of $127,927.02. Next is also a pass-through payment to Travel Paso for April 2026 in the amount of $169,784.97. And then finally, a payment to the California Joint Powers Insurance Association. This is related to the annual liability and workers' comp program that the city buys in through the membership with the JPIA in the amount of $3,224,106. Moving on, item number three is the receipt of the treasurer's report for April of this year. Item number four is the receipt of the treasurer's report for May of this year. Item number five, as discussed earlier, is the proposed formation of a community services facilities district related to the Beechwood development to provide for transportation, parks and recreation improvement and facilities, parkways and landscape improvements. Item number six is the approval of contribution agreements for fiscal year 26-27 and 27-28 with various community stakeholder organizations, including the Paso Robles Downtown Main Street Association, the Wine Alliance, and the Chamber of Commerce. This item and the amounts herein are based on prior council direction and budget adoption that occurred in June. Item number seven is the approval of a new event in City Park, the Church Backpack Giveaway. Item number eight is the approval of Public Safety Communications Center remodel and technology upgrades associated with our dispatching unit. Item number nine is the approval of the cost report for cost incurred, and this is related to the weed abatement that this council has reviewed and discussed over the last several meetings. This is the one of the final steps in the process to ensure that the city's cost for abating any outstanding non-compliance with weeds is recovered from those property owners. Item number 10 is the receipt of the annual fire inspection report for state-mandated occupancies. This is an item that you receive every year, again, consistent with state law. Item number 11, as previously discussed, is the approval of a resolution to allow the city manager to execute a master services agreement with OpenGov. This is both for an enterprise asset management and also the integrated 311 citizen request portal. Just a note here, most of us are familiar with the C-Click Fix application. Part of what this action would do is actually move our public-facing app-based and web-based service request portal to this new system, and that, as Ms. Frazier mentioned, is going to be more integrated with our workflow systems, offer the same types of features and the same types of opportunities for the public to submit items that need to be addressed in the community, but do so in a way that's going to help staff, I think, be more efficient and effective in actually addressing those from a timeliness perspective. Item 12, this is related to a property exchange with the Paso Robles Events Center, also known as the 16th Agricultural District. This transit, and then also a right-of-way contract with Black Oak LLC for acquisition of property, all related to the new 24th Street Bridge project that is moving forward. And so this right-of-way and this land swap is necessary to accommodate that project. And most of those dollars are being paid from federal grant funds that we were able to receive. Item number 13 is the approval of a design services contract for the Fire Station Phase 2 Training Facility Project. Again, as part of that master plan for the training facilities out there, there's additional work that was planned beyond just the training tower. It includes classroom and other learning facilities, and this is the design contract to move that forward. Item 14 is the approval of a resolution awarding a contract to Rick Engineering. This is related to updating the 2007 Storm Drain Master Plan, Phase 2. Item number 15 is the approval of adding two individuals to our certified arborist list. Item number 16 is the acceptance of a conservation easement, again, related to the Beechwood project. Item number 17 is related to the declination of a drainage easement, and that's in the Veneto planning area. Talked about item 18, which will be deferred. And Mayor, finally, item number 19 is the acceptance of public improvements for Sherwood Road, again, within an area of the Veneto planning area 15, and the rescission of the rejections of offers of right-of-way for track 3155. That was a lot. Happy to continue to answer questions as they come forth. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. So at this point, any other further questions from council on the consent? Oh, now we're going to pull item 6 to have a full discussion on that.
Mr. Mayor?
Sure.
I'm going to withdraw that request to withdraw. So please include 6 on the consent.
Okay, if you like. All right. So basically, the way I see it then, we're going to be looking at 1 through 6, 7 through 17. We're going to defer 18, and then 19 will be on the...
I have a question, sir.
Sure, go ahead.
Item number 8, I just wanted to find out, where's the funding coming from that?
On 8?
Item.
Item 8. Caleb?
Mr. Funding?
Hi there, Ryan Cornell, Administrative Services Director. It's going to be a combination of a state grant as well as Measure J funding, supplemental sales tax.
Okay, thank you very much.
And this is the, you're talking about the approval of the Public Safety Communication Center?
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you.
Yep. Go ahead, Chris. Beal?
Chief Patty, I have a question for the inspections.
Hi, Paul Patty, Battalion Chief Fire Marshal. Go ahead.
So you inspected over 160 properties. So they were kind of multifamily, hotels, schools, and things like that. Can you just talk us through about one of the things that you saw and observed through those inspections? What kind of patterns?
So of the inspections that we're talking about tonight, 161 of them were of the occupancy are occupancies, which are hotels, motels, apartment complexes that are triplexes and above that have common areas. So we inspect those differently than we inspect regular businesses in town, commercial business locations, and also different than what the schools get. And then we have one other item on here too, which is the jail. The city jail is a mandated item that requires inspection each year. So all those are annual inspections, and what we look for are we look for fire and life safety issues that are potentially there. If it's a sprinkler building, we ensure that they are compliant with their, not only their fire extinguishers, but their sprinkler systems and their 5-year testing. We look for missing outlet covers, anything electrical that could potentially be in common areas, such as laundry rooms and little community rooms, that if the hotel, motel, or apartment complex has those. When we get into the hotels and motels, it gets a little bit more extensive because we look at exit doors, fire doors, make sure that those are opening and closing properly. We look to see that there's the exit lighting, that we have the correct distances. There's been no holes put in. There's we tend to find in some of the older locations that people get creative and they put holes in the walls, and we need to make sure that those are taken care of. So there's a list of about approximately 40 different things that we look for when we're in the our occupancies when we're looking at those. And it's not just myself, it's the staff that we have, and it's also the engine companies that go out. Our engine companies go into the hotels and motels because that gives them the opportunity to do pre-fire plans and be able to look and see what the exiting's like. We have, as we've been fortunate to have. We have a lot of new firefighters on board. It gives them the opportunity to go and walk these locations and see what they're like outside of an emergency.
And then based on what these inspections, you would communicate back with the owners based on your findings. And there's very serious things that you find and a little less serious things to find. So what are your findings?
Correct. So everyone that gets an inspection, whether it's these mandatory inspections or the business inspections, they'll get an email of our violations, or they'll get an email that's saying they're all clear. If it is a significant violation, we ensure that if it's fire and life safety hazard that's immediate, we ensure that that is cleared up at the moment that we're there. That is very rare that we find something like that. There are some monitor areas where there's some things that we do need to come back and take a look at, and we'll do that. There'll be something as minor as maybe a blank in an electrical panel that's missing. It's a violation, but we don't find typically that it's significant enough to warrant another trip back to the location. We kind of trust the business owner or the property owner that they're going to complete that task. And if they don't, we find it the next year, and then we ensure that if they didn't follow up on that, that when they have smaller things in the future, we're going to follow up each time. So we kind of have a little trust with people too.
And out of the 160 plus properties, how many emails did you send?
Everyone gets an email. And then what we did too is I went back and I looked and I saw that we were at right around 8% had a follow-up inspection. And that was just for just various different things. A couple of them what I saw were for a fire extinguisher, because that was not the first time that their fire extinguisher was expired for that year. Not that there was no propellant in there, but that it hadn't been serviced in the required annual time frame. And so we went back for a few of those. We had a couple with the hotels that we had the exit lighting where the lighting had gone out, because we test those. And those are just a sample of what we went back on, but we haven't had any significant findings in quite a few years.
That's great. And you've been doing this for a while, so overall you feel like this has gotten better over time?
Yeah, I've been here for over 30 years, so I've been doing a lot of inspections, and crews have been doing a lot of inspections, and I know when we first started this process, it was new to a lot of the businesses, and we had a kind of a steep learning curve at the beginning. But for the last decade and a half, we are on track. We're far ahead of the game. We actually took a phone call this morning from San Luis City that's been watching what we're doing, and they're looking at implementing what we're doing there. So yet another time where our city is at the forefront of fire protection and safety.
Well, San Luis City must know what we're doing because of Chief Harris, right?
I kind of feel like that might be part of why they're involved now. So just a side note, he is getting his badge pinning tonight. He's for the fire chief position. So congratulations to him.
That's great. Thanks for the information.
You're welcome. Thank you,
Mary Hammond.
Paul. Martin Wiggery. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can I ask you a quick question? So when I was in business down in the South County, we had a pretty large facility where we had several hundred people staying on our property. And we did an annual plan and meeting with CAL FIRE on evacuation in case of fire or other emergencies. Do you do that with any facilities like Allegretto or any of the larger hotels?
We look at their fire plans that they have in place, and we offer any help or assistance that they may need. A lot of the large organizations have staff on board now that they're safety related, and so I was at Allegretto today by chance and met with the maintenance person there, and they are very proactive. But we are always willing to help if there's someone out there or a business that has a need. We go out, we do fire extinguisher training for some of the smaller businesses. And there's a lot of services that we provide that we just don't really, I guess, advertise. But they're there.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, thank you very much.
Any other questions from council on consent? Okay, then we'll go ahead and look for a motion and or direction. We already did. Well, I guess we can open it up again, but public comment, go ahead.
Hi, Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. On number 7, the Victory Outreach Backpack Giveaway. I have personal experience with the Torreses. I'm not happy with them because they're shipping my son off to Whittier in a couple of weeks. But I'm going to say the same thing about Victory Outreach. I have, I visited, I have no other way to describe it, but the Holy Ghost is there. And I am grateful to them for working with the Justice Impacted, which is probably the most difficult clientele to work with, period, because they go in and out in jail. I am grateful they have my nephew. And since my brother passed away, it's very hard for me to have my family away. And if I have my druthers, I will have my family living here in Paso with us. So I just want to say, whatever Victory Outreach wants, I'm going to say the same thing I say about public safety. Please approve it.
Anyone else on public comment for consent? Seeing none, anyone online?
Okay. No, sir.
Go ahead and bring it back to council now for direction.
Mayor Hammond.
Pro Tem Gregory.
I'd like to move that we approve items 1 through 17 and 19 on the consent agenda.
Second. Okay, a motion by Gregory, second by Bausch. Discussion? All right, we'll call for the question, Melissa.
Councilmember Gregory?
Yes.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Yes.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. Bringing it down to City Manager Report, Mr. Huat.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Just a couple items today. First, I know we're going to have a more formal recognition next meeting, but I did want to take a moment to thank staff and our volunteers and sponsors for the great work on the 4th of July event. We had a record attendance and really went well. I think the weather and the being on a Saturday and the 250th year really brought everybody out, and it was wonderful to see everyone. So just a big thank you to everyone involved there. For I know that there are many interested, and certainly you all have seen, but of course we're going to have our first ever Trader Joe's opening on Thursday. Thank you to staff again for all the work behind the scenes to help that and many other projects moving forward. Also wanted to just give the community and the council and those in attendance just a reminder both that you know we got Creston Road Phase 2 underway, so thank you all again for those that were able to attend our groundbreaking ceremony today. There will be a little bit of growing pains over the next 2 years as that work gets underway, but I know Didis and the team are going to work hard to move as swiftly as possible, and we're going to have a brand new roadway and a nice roundabout. Probably a little bit more under the radar, but something that this council's approved and that is coming later this summer, early fall, is Commerce. Okay, I'm done.
Give a few more. Summarize, but yeah, continue.
I'll try to conclude in a summary way here. Commerce is under contract. The contract's been signed, and that work will begin soon. And like I mentioned, later this summer, early fall. I know the community is as excited about that maybe as they are with Creston Phase 2. And then just a quick look ahead to our August 4th meeting, only because it's been, I think, brought up a couple different times, but we do anticipate looking to establish the ad hoc for the downtown alleyway improvements at your August 4th meeting. So I just wanted to give you all in the community a heads up, just because I know that there's been a lot of questions and some discussion about that that I've heard about. So just know that that's coming, and the community development team's looking to put that together. With that, that concludes my time and my comments, and I will yield it back to you.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Chris. Moving on, we have then the council business and committee reports. Who would like to start? Left or right? Chris Beal.
Hello, everyone. I wanted to take a minute to, you know, it's been a while since we've seen each other, and a lot of the committees that I'm involved with went dark in July, but I was still very, very busy. So I want to actually commend the utilities team in terms of that repair on Riverside. They worked really hard for a very long time for a very complicated fix and managed to get it all buttoned up and get the road open before the fair opened. So kudos to the team. I went to the Central Coast Trades Apprentice Forum and provided some welcoming remarks. Mr. Bausch was also there. It was really a great event, and we learned from the different apprentices in different phases of their apprenticeships. And boy, I sure would like to see more Paso people represented in that. But I always learn a lot of those. The butterfly garden activity at Uptown Park was amazing. It was very well attended by lots of people in the community. A lot of people there are involved with library services, swim programs, and things like that. But I also spoke to a fair number of people who appreciated having the event on a Saturday because they can't go to events during the week because that's when they work. Coffee with City with Roads. Highlight for the week, believe it or not, was observing dispatch on a Saturday night of the fair. And holy moly. I always learn a lot. It sort of coincides with, you know, the item on the agenda tonight in terms of improving some of the facilities and equipment for dispatch. Our dispatch operators are managing extremely complicated, serious medical emergencies, and at the same time answering the non-emergency dispatch in the middle of all of that. And if you haven't done so, I would just highly recommend going down there and seeing what happens. They're really top-notch. Homeless Services Oversight Committee, that's for the county. We have kind of an objective selection program for grants, non-conflicted committee that does an evaluation, and we approved, you know, a number of grants to be $3 million of $10 million that was asked for in a number of different buckets, and it's actually quite complicated, different types of buckets of money for different types of programs. I did a lot of work with, had a lot of people reaching out on kind of landscape and lighting and more pedestrian safety issues. What else? First Public Arts Advisory Committee meeting tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. The Pancake Breakfast on Thursday at 7:30 in the morning. Hope to see you all there. And then next week we have Wake Up Paso with the Chamber. So hope everybody had a nice month.
All right, thank you, Chris. To the other end, Chris Bausch.
Thank you very much.
So just echo the, I got to witness the carnage on Riverside the night of Chris Stapleton, and that was just, it was almost a year to the day when it broke last year. So hats off not only for the crews for that repair, but also out of Creston and Niblick. I think that one was a major flood, right? Reports of people going fishing out there, Creston and Niblick. So thanks to staff. June 17th, I think most of us attended the Community Service Department Advisory Board's welcome reception. Got to meet a lot of new folks. I'd like to include in my remarks some of the committees that I work with and some of their new members. Youth Commission. We welcome new and returning members, Kaylin Butterfield, Kayla Camarena, Lydia Kidd, Christian Mendoza, Rand Nagy, Benjamin Parham, Emery Reynoso, Melissa Suarez Olea, and Lauren Welch. Happy to report that with all the returning members, they were able to approve and establish their Youth Commission goals for 26-27. Attended the July 4th 250th birthday party. What a great day that was. Great fireworks. I thought the weather was pretty cooperative. Thanks to all the city staff who were out there. I think everybody turned out. Special thanks to Lavella and her staff for making volunteering painless. The t-shirt's kind of cool too. July 9th, Library Board of Trustees. Welcome new and returning members, Tanya Childers, Marilyn Denter, Mary Lou Gomez, Raymond Hardy, and new member Michael Satan Hansen. And likewise, the Library Board of Trustees approved their goals for 26-27. June 13th, attended the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee Welcome new and returning members, Peggy Beamer, Quentin Campbell, Dan Rodriguez, Richard Winkelman, and Prudence Zelensky. We established our, they too established their advisory committee goals for 26-27. And then finally on Parks and Recreation, welcoming all returning members, Richard Clayton, Gene Messina, Riley Newman, Bill Saylor, and Diane Zanotti. They broke the mold, unfortunately. They decided to defer, they had some questions on their goals, some improvement, so they deferred their goals and we'll approve those at a future meeting. July 15th, attended opening day ceremonies with Mayor Hammond at the California Mid-State Fair, attended with Councilmember Beal, the Central Coast Construction Trades Alliance Apprentice, presentation at the fair. It'd be really nice to have an apprentice program put together in conjunction with our high school. So that's an ongoing goal that I've been working towards for a while. Continue to work on that. We had the groundbreaking this morning for phase two of Creston Road. The city manager Hewitt just talked about. We also had our ribbon cutting ceremony this evening for Play on Wheels. So thank you everybody. That was a fun little party before the meeting. Hope you got some cookies out there if you were in attendance. And then last but not least, for those of you who are interested, the point in time count information for this year was released this afternoon. So if you haven't seen that yet, pull that up. I'm sure those of you that participated should have received an email by now. That's my report.
Thank you, Chris. Councilman Strong.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. And I attended both the Parks and Rec and the Youth Advisory with Councilman Bausch. I'm not going to repeat what he already reported on. The only other thing that really was pertinent here is that yesterday we had a meeting of the Board of Directors of the Pacific Surfliner down in Orange, which I chair. And that was the most contentious meeting we have had in 20 years. However, it was all done with decorum, and everybody was ladylike and gentlemanlike. So we accomplished the meeting without any severe damage. The situation was that one of our agencies down in the San Diego area felt that it was time to replace the management, and they wanted to replace the management and become the new managers of the railroad. When the report was given that this management, in its years of operation thus far, has made this the number one passenger railroad in the entire United States. We carry more passengers and we have a better fare box recovery, the only one that has a positive fare box recovery, to the extent that we are not in debt at all. And we're the only one in the United States not in debt. So with all of those accomplishments and the fact that our ridership was the highest it's been in our entire history in the last month, the board decided to proceed with our existing management for another 3 years, and we'll take a look at it again then and see if we want to even consider a change at that time. So that was what we accomplished, and it looks like we're moving forward with a great service that's going to be available, especially with the upcoming Olympics. So everybody look forward to that. And we do have that new train that stops up in San Luis Obispo around noon.